Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get started with the money. Beautiful.
Touch you.
Every time I hear that song, I always loved the words when I first heard it. Minetti Linda sent me that song, and I just loved the words. And after the sunrise yesterday and saw the beautiful movement that my daughter Ebony put to it, it just, I could see her movement and the wind blowing, and the wind was so beautiful for the sunrise. And every time it says, the wind, just to bless you. Oh, my God. It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. Your love experience with Janine and Ingram, and that was Imani. You're beautiful. You are so beautiful that the man was made just to bless you. The sun's glow was made just to bless you. I love that song, y'all. I'm so in heaven. I'm so in euphoric right now. We're going to get ready and move into our inner space where Source resides, space that is the rock star. And as we move into this inner space, I want you to just become very mindful. Move from your head and into your heart. And as you come into this heart space, I want you to realize that life is about managing vibration, managing your vibrational energy. And as we manage the vibrational output, the only input can be the reflection of the inner. So right now, I just want you to move into the highest vibratory energetic expression, and that's love, because love is the highest vibrating energy on the planet. And that's because love and God are synonymous. So right now, I just want you to become very intentional about the breath. Breathing, breath. And as you breathe in, I want you to become very intentional about your gratitude. Gratitude is the highest presence of prayer. I just want you to say thank you. If the wind is blowing in your face right now, just thank the wind. If the sun is, the warmth of the sun is kissing your face, just say thank you. And if the love of Mother Earth is moving you in any kind of way, is it the trees, the flowers? I want you to just move into that space of gratitude. Become intentional about the breath. And as we breathe in, I want you to breathe in through the nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. Then release the breath. Remembering to breathe deep into the diaphragm, deep into the heart. And remember, there's power in the breath, family. Together, be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. Again, be still. Know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And I just want to say thank you, God. As we move into just simple gratitude, and I want to hold space for healing space for those names that were called last week. We're going to continue to hold those names, and if anybody else want to add, you can speak the names of those who you want to add. And so as we move into a place of seeing those that were added, perfect, whole, and complete, as we move into the vision that is not the vision of our two eyes, but the inner vision, the vision of the source, seeing Daddy Wheatley filled with the light, the healing presence of light, the healing presence of love. We ask you to touch every cell in Daddy Wheatley's body right now. We ask you to touch every molecule in Daddy Wheatley's body right now. And whatever is the source of the pain, God, we ask you to release it, to remove it from his body right now, God. Oh, divine Mother, Father, God, I ask you to come and touch the soul. Touch the energy. Touch the body. Consciousness of all that is love. And so in this powerful presence of healing, we see Daddy Wheatley's body perfect, whole, and complete, recognizing that there's nothing to heal, only you to be revealed in him right now, God. I ask you to bless the family and comfort those that are in the process, but those who haven't been able to forgive, God, I ask you to release any unforgiveness, God. I ask you to release any pain, God. I ask you to release it all right now, God. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to touch Derek Fleming right now, God. Touch his mind, God, and remind him he came to do a mighty work, God. As he grow and continue to grow to be mighty in the land, I ask you to remove whatever the doctors thought they saw, God. I ask you to remove from his body anything that is keeping him from the truth of who he is, perfect, whole, and complete, God. And in this divine process, we know life is always happening for us, never to us. And so right now, God, I ask you to bless him from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, God. I ask you to bless his heart right now, God. I ask you to bless his mind right now, God. I ask you to bless every living system in his being, God. And I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and bless his family and those around him as they see him in his truth, divine, perfect, whole, and complete. I ask you to bless Rochelle Knox, God. God, I ask you to bring back the taste for life in her body right now. God, I ask you to bring back her passion for living, God. I ask you to get her back into a space where she remembers how to feel love and whole and perfect and complete, God. I ask you to come and just rain down your love upon her right now, God. I ask you to rain down your love upon her in the mighty consciousness of all that is right now, God. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and build up her body right now, God. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and touch her from the top of her head to the soles of your feet, God. I ask you to release your legion of healing angels around her right now, God. Come, Holy Spirit, as we give victory, knowing that it is done, God. I ask you to bless each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. I ask you to come and bless each and every person under the sound of my voice in the mighty consciousness of all that is good, God. I ask you to come and bring forth blessings, God. Rain down your favor as we stand still, God, and receive your favor. And so in this right now moment, God, I give thanks for a mighty sunrise service yesterday, God. I give thanks for the presence of those who were present. I give thanks who had a mind to come but wasn't there, God. I give thanks for those who sent their love and their prayers to the mighty space, God. I thank you for the decorating. I thank you for the God art, the beautiful rising of the sun, the touch of the wind, and the beautiful presence of your flowers and grass and water, just the beautiful people. It was so amazing to look out and see all the beauty of all those who were there. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, the magnificence to share and dedicate Lady Emerald to commit to being a part of her evolution, to commit to our children and recognizing that it's by our example that our children get to see what it means to be the walking embodiment of the presence of all that is. And so in this right now moment, God, I send blessings upon each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. I send blessings upon their children, their grandchildren, their children's children, God. But most importantly, I bless that each and every one of us will be so phenomenal in our living that even our children's children will know our name, God. And so in the mighty, matchless name of all that you are, God, I give thanks for right now, God. And so it is. Ooh, good morning, family. It's another great day, isn't it? Just another great day. Thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And I am your daily lover. And I feel really excited today, just excited about all the possibilities that this new day will bring. Really grateful for the sunrise service. It was so beautiful to me. And if you were on the line when the song Beautiful was on, I love that song. I absolutely love that song. But now I have a greater, deeper love to watch Ebony's movement and how the wind was just blowing. But it wasn't too rough. It was just gentle wind. And every time she swayed her body with the song, beautiful. It was just, I don't know, it touched my soul. It touched my soul. And I just really am grateful. I'm grateful. I'm just one grateful somebody found me. You know, it's interesting when you become a parent to adult children and to watch them move into their space and own it. And so, you know, I was thinking about that today. I was talking to Emily. She's like, Mom, how did you like the sunrise? I said, I thought it was a beautiful. It was just beautiful. That's when I think of yesterday's sunrise, each sunrise has a different meaning or a different characteristic. And yesterday, it was just so beautiful. The people were beautiful. The landscape of God's art, the performance, the conversation, to invite people to go deeper into their forgiveness work. But what was even more amazing, because when you work with artists, a lot of times they don't see their work as complete or necessarily characterize it as good. It's always like every time my husband cooks something that's phenomenal, he always want to think about what he could do different. And I'd be like, I don't want you to do nothing different. It was absolutely good. If you change it, it won't be this good. He's always looking for it to be better. And sometimes you just can't make excellent better. But I don't think he gets to see that. And I realize a lot of artists always thinking, how can they make what they done better? So what was so good about Ebony yesterday, when we were talking about it, she felt that her body of work was amazing. I thought, wow, she owned her own amazing energy. Wow. I thought that was so beautiful to actually own it. I've never heard her just like her work. I've always heard her critique. I always heard, okay, Well, I should have did it, but this time she just simply owned the work. And so that was really powerful for me to see her say, I loved the body of work. She said, and I said, well, how did you get there? She said, Ma, I just took the song and I owned it. I sat with myself and I played it before when I woke up in the morning in my ears, and I played it on my way to sleep, and I became the song. We became one. And I was like, wow. I don't know, some of you all went on when the song was on, so I'm going to just play a little clip of the song so you get to hear what I'm talking about, because it's something magnificent when we can own the work that we present to the world. I just want you to hear a little bit of it. Folded her body in, and it represented to me, and I don't know what her meaning in her own mind. It meant she folded her body in to me. It represented an energy of self-love. But what was even more thoughtful about the movement was because the sound system was doing a little bit when we started, so I asked her if she wanted to say anything. She said, just with her body. I thought, wow. She said, Mom, my body is my instrument. It's my voice. I thought, wow. And so, today I wanted to talk about mastering and owning your space, your gifts, your talents. And it was so powerful to me that I had a speaking engagement for a lady who actually has been in ministry for 50 years, Reverend Joan Lopez. And I've recently met her, and I was really honored to be her keynote speaker because there's many dynamic people that was there. And I felt when I was sitting around looking at all the people she could have chose to be her keynote speaker, she chose me, and I thought, wow. And so, you know, she got these different ministers that were coming up to speak and different performances and powerful, dynamic people from Chicago doing some really great things. And so the closer they were getting to my time to come up, my stomach was turning. And I was thinking, oh, my God, you know, use me, Holy Spirit. You know, I'm going through my own inner process to make sure that I bring the presence of all of me there, right? But it was interesting the receiving, actually got a standing ovation. Found people stood up and clapped. I was like so grateful. But there's something different that happens when you move from a place of being in your brains about things, in your mind about things, to actually bringing it in your heart and owning it. You see, when you become, I used to think when people say be love or be success or be, what did that really mean? I know what it means, like necessarily in the actual word, but what does that really mean? What does that really look like? The beingness of something. And what I realized is that the beingness, when there's no thought, it just becomes who you are. I saw something different in Ebony yesterday, a certain mastery. Send me into a place of total gratitude. I now understand what, in this book called Outliers, he talks about mastery in there. He talks about the 10,000 hours. And I was thinking, you got to have 10,000 hours of something to even be considered to move into mastery? And I thought it was an interesting concept. But I really didn't really get it till I watched Ebony. The author of Outliers is Malcolm Gladwell. He writes a lot about leadership. But in his book, he talks about the 10,000-hour rule. That the practice of the 10,000 hours of deliberate practice is what needed to become world-class in any field. This is basically as a leadership. He says, in order to master something, he says that it takes roughly 10,000 hours of practice to achieve that mastery. And I thought about the work that I even put into her life, sending her, you know, paying for dance classes, paying for master classes, sending her to Paris to dance at the University of Paris, get taught there, and bringing other masters in to be a part of her journey to her own mastery, sending her to a school called the Chicago Academy of the Arts, where they spent 30 to 130 on a regular curriculum, but after that, 1:30 to 6, sometimes 8 o'clock, she wouldn't get home, sometimes 9 and 10, and never felt tired because they were working their craft, depending on what module you were on, whether you were a dancer, a singer, or a theater, and they would bring in other masters to come in and teach them different forms of dance, the Graham style, the Catherine Dunham style, you know, different styles of dance. And to really see her own that yesterday really taught what it meant to be being, to be in the beingness of things. You see, our job is to be, they say love, right? They say our job is to be success, to own our individual gifts and talents, is to be that gift and that talent. To watch her own it and master it was such a powerful process. I mean, I said, Ebony, you want to say something only with my body? She said, my voice is my body. Mom, I'm like, wow. And it was a beautiful piece to watch her dance. It was like reading a book with no words but still understanding the story. It was powerful. And so it made me think, how do you get from the learning curve into the mastery? And of course, there's the 10,000 hours. But I think it's something deeper that gets you into ownership of it. I have a girlfriend who I remember when we met together. at St. our school called St. Thomas. Our children went to school together, and we're still friends today. She was at the sunrise service yesterday. She's so beautiful to me in her movement, the way she dressed, how she do what she do. And even though her physical body has gone through some changes because of, you know, some that C word, and she had to, you know, remove her beautiful breast. But do you know that that girl ain't miss a beat? I watched her move yesterday, navigating smile with her quiet movements, and I thought to myself, she's so beautiful. And I watch her on the dance floor sometimes when we out together stepping, and I remember when we used to step, when I first started taking stepping lessons, and she was like, I want to dance like you, Janine, I want to dance like, and then I kind of fell off, and then she continued to step, and she continued to take the classes and be out there, and her mastery on the floor is so beautiful. And every time I would say, girl, she won't own it, though. She said, girl, that ain't, she won't own her own beauty. She won't own her own mastery of the 10,000 hours that she took into practice, because she got into stepper contests, and she did a lot of, you know, dance things to master the concept of what we call Chicago-style stepping. And it's just so beautiful to see her glide across the floor and to see her move her body and sway with such feminine essence. And to see her is a beautiful work of art. And anytime you give her a compliment, she won't own it, though. She won't own it. And I thought, and so I was just watching her yesterday thinking about, wow, how do you really get into a place where you really own it? And sometimes people feel like if you own your gifts and your talents that you're being braggy or something like that, or you're being arrogant or something like that. But to own your own gifts and to own your own talents, something magnificent happens when you're in the being state of owning the beauty, the presence, the gifts, the talents, and knowing that you are a beautiful gift to the world. That you are a beautiful gift to the world. And that you are so beautiful that even the wind was just made to touch you. And every time the wind, so let me just go back a little bit. The book, ever since I read that book, every time the wind touched me, I've always been present to the wind, but something more about that book made me become more present to the wind. And now this song makes me more present to the fact that every time the wind touched me, it's God's blessing to me. And so I just thank the wind for the touch. It's something beautiful that happens when the sun warmth kisses your face, and the sun was just made to bless you. That the moon's glow was made just to bless you. And that the wind was made just to, since when we own our own. You know, when I got up yesterday, I didn't really sleep. I never really sleep that well the night before the sunrise service. I'm always thinking about how to move through it and get everything done. And one sunrise, I can't wait to, where I'm so caught into my inner presence that I could pour out to people, just totally pour out. I never really fully feel like I give everything that I have in the sunrise, because I'm always thinking about all the things that need to go in. And I'm always thinking about, okay, we got to pay people, we got to do this. And my mind is outside of me instead of really fully being present to the inner presence, so that the purpose that I have been given to fully deliver. And I thought about that when I went to go speak, that my only purpose was to deliver and pour in to everybody. And the dynamic that happens when you can be so present to your inner that you can pour into people. And to own the gift that you've been truly given to share with the world, to be in your sweet spot, to actually know, you know, I think about Michael Jordan also when I think about mastery. Not that I'm saying that there's no other ball players that are in their own mastery. And even though I love LeBron James, And I do think that he has mastered the game in a way that I've never seen anybody do it. But it's something about the elegance of Michael Jordan's ownership that's different than LeBron James' ownership. There was a when Charles Barkley loud talking to everybody saying what he was going to do to Michael Jordan on the floor and blah, blah, blah. And somebody asked Michael Jordan his response. He said, I can show him better than I can tell you. He said, watch my work. And I felt like that's what Ebony said to me when I said, is there anything you want to say before you present your body of work? She said, no. Basically, but she didn't say the word no. She said, I want to say it with my body. Michael Jordan said, I don't want to speak the words. He said, I want to show him on the floor. He said, I want to show him on the floor. He said, because I can. And so some of you might not know this song, but he said, I can walk it like I talk. Well, he didn't say these words, but, you know, walk it like I talk it. And I always think about that song because that's been my goal, to come to this line and walk it like I talk it. Not talk it and not talk the talk and not walk the walk. But walk it like you talk it. And I'm telling you, as you develop your 10,000-hour mastery and own it and really become part of the beingness of what it is that you came to the planet to be, there's something different that happens, and that's the elegance that Michael Jordan has in the way that he smoothly moved through the gift of basketball. It was like he could fly. It was something elegant about it. It was something fluid about his movement. And I'm not taking away nothing from LeBron James. The boy is bad, y'all. He got a mind game calling anybody I've seen. But it's just something fluid about the way Michael Jordan moved through the game. But they both equally powerful and dynamic. They invested in the gift that they've been given to share with the world. They've invested. And so today I want us to think about how can we own our own gifts? How can we see our own greatness? How can we ask God to reveal to us the presence that we've been given to? And it's never too late. You know, some people think, oh, well, I'm this age now. And the thing that I want us to be committed to is committed to the commitment of mastering the gift of self. The gift of your own enjoyment, the gift of your own joy and happiness, the gift of all, and not seek to be validated or by someone else, or not seeking to make want someone else to make us happy, when it's our job to make our own self happy. It's our job to put our own stars in our sky. And so today, simply my message is to remind you to own your own greatness, to see your own beauty, to be present to the beauty of God's art, and just be in the presence of who you are. It's the beingness. And it's just the beingness. And I know we hear this all the time, the beingness. But what does that really mean? I remember the first time someone said, Janine, don't chase success, be success. What do you mean? Don't chase money, be money. What? But everything is about the value of self. You are the sun, and everything is your sun rays. How you doing, everything comes from the center of your source, your own sun, your own S-U-N, your own energy force, your own light. And how you vibrate dictates how the sun rays invite people to come back into that space. You're the sun. And life I'm telling you, being on this love journey has been such a blessing to me. It was such a great aha moment to listen to KRS the other day, even though I've played KRS and I've heard KRS and that same speech. But what came out of that is that life has never been about managing the physical process. It's about managing the vibration. Somebody should have said, Janine, that's what it's about. I would have been on this journey longer, faster. It's not, we always trying to fix the physical. But it's about the invisible. It's about the invisible energy, the vibration. When we can manage that, the physical automatically moves right into the space. That's why it's important that we spend quiet time. Now, some people say we meditate, but you know what I learned? It's not even about knowing how to meditate properly. Because as soon as you say meditate, people feel like, oh, I don't know how to do that. So they may not do it. But meditation is really just being quiet. Now, there's different forms of meditation, yes. And the more quiet time you spend, the more you'll find that meditation is just a beingness as well. It's in just being in your quiet space. Yes. Not making your mind quiet, but allowing your mind to be quiet. Meaning, if the mind has got a lot of chatter, be present with the chatter and think the chatter and move the chatter. Now, let me tell you what that means. So whenever I'm in my quiet space, whether I'm intentionally about to meditate or just feel like I just want to be still and but what I find sometimes is my mind wants to run. Or my mind wants to think about you all. My mind wants, and then I allow that space to come in and I invite that space to move out because I just want to focus in on me. Because sometimes I'm so thoughtful of other people that I want to move back into my own space for me to think about me and think about what it is that the universe has for me to pour into others or pour into life or give to whatever that may be. And sometimes I have to ask the thought to remove itself so that I can come back into my inner space of my own self. And sometimes I find that the vibrations of music helps me to be very present with myself and helps me to stay focused. So I might put on a little Roy Ayers, or I might put on that song, Beautiful, that you just heard, or I might put on Lonnie Liston Smith or Miles Davis, and I'll cut off the lights, cut on the candles, and let the music move my body. And being present with the rhythm for sometimes and what it is that I want to bring into my space right then. And so if you really want to know the answer to what's going on inside your body physically, your money, your physical ailments, sit still with yourself and ask yourself, and you'll see how a lot of these abstract concepts become a part of who you are, the oneness of it. And so today I just want to just simply request and invite you to go deeper into your healing journey with yourself, to invite you to go deeper into a space that allows you to focus in on your vibrational energy, to allow you to find the gift that you've been called to the planet to be, do, and have in this world. What is your sweet spot? What is the thing that makes you you that nobody else can do the way you can do it? Only you can do it. What is the thing that makes you uniquely you? What is your unique signature to the planet? What's your carbon footprint? In the beautifulness of our creation, what I love about creation is that there's no two fingerprints or footprints. We're all uniquely bringing what we can bring to the table differently. But yet, very similar. And taking the pottery class really showed me that. I was having such a difficult time creating pottery. And I tell you, I said to myself, how did I end up in this pottery class? Because, you know, I like to wear heels, and, you know, I wanted my nails done. My nails just now getting back to their strength after that class. But I'm getting sidetracked. But what I want to say is playing in that clay a lot of times. And one day I stayed after class. Now, our class was like, I got there, I think, at 9, and I think it was over at 10:30. I was there from 10:30 in the morning to, like, 9 at night trying to create these bowls. And so nobody was in the class, and I decided to put on my Miles Davis and work my beautiful magic to try to catch up on some simple bowls, something that I thought would be simple bowls. But let me just tell you, when you twirling on that pot with the clay and the wheel is rolling, and if you don't have the right touch or the right speed or understand how to do it, it just will flop on you. And I kept doing it and doing it and doing it. Sometimes them bowls would just flop out. I was like, had to start all over, knead the clay back up, mold the clay back up, put it back on there again, plop it. And then, but what I learned, let me tell you what I learned. It was so interesting. And so I'm frustrated and I'm just going, God, what is it? And so I'm like, well, maybe this is not meant for me, blah, blah, I'm fussing, but I got to catch up because, you know. And so I look over, God had me look over at each one of those bowls. Because I said to God, I thought about Leonardo da Vinci's quote. They always complimented him on the art of his work. And he said that it wasn't him. He said it was just the stone that knew what it wanted to be. And I said, well, God, if this clay know what it wanted to be, why do it need my fingerprint? Why do it need my help? So I looked, God had me look over at each one of those different students' pieces of work that they had created. And most of those students were in my class. And he said, who do you think did this one? I said, oh, I know that's such and such work. Oh, yeah, that's such and such work. Now, even though they were all bowls, how, God said, how do you distinctly know whose bowl is what? And it instantly hit me. Even though we were all creating bowls, it was something uniquely different about our styles of bowl. Now, I know you're like, what? Really? Really, really, really? That is a distinct difference. And even though sometimes the distinctions are slight, the slightness of the distinction is still unique to the person who created it. And so even though the clay knows what it wants to be, when it is used, when you're used to bring forth the body of work, there's going to be a unique fingerprint that says that you did this particular work. I was like, oh. So God said, now put the clay back on it. And what I learned is that each clay is consistently different. So meaning that sometimes people who put the clay together might put different ingredients, a little more of this different ingredient, and, you know, even though you're supposed to put this much in this much in there, we all put whatever amount in there each time we make it, even though we're only supposed to put a teaspoon in this, a cup of that, or this and that. In that cup, it might be a little more, a little less. In that teaspoon, you might have a little more. So it makes the consistency of the clay different. So when you put the clay on there, depending on whether the clay is thicker or thinner or softer or harder, depends on how much you're supposed to move the wheel around. And when I got the hang of the congruency of the thickness of the clay to the smoothness and how much hand I supposed to, see, I was so busy trying to make the bowl that I wasn't allowing the bowl to just form in my hand because I was pushing and making it. And, oh, I was, you know, thinking that I had to do all this work. And all it really needed was me to softly hold my hands, or maybe firmly hold my hands, depending on the consistency of the clay. The softer the clay, the more firmness. The harder the clay, the less you need to hold it. You just need to just softly, firmly hold the clay. But if it was a softer clay, you needed to hold it a little bit tighter, and then the speed needed to be a little bit faster to give the consistency of the bowl. I know you might not. I don't know if you understand. This is just what I learned in my pottery class, sitting there talking to God. But what I learned in that, what I took away for life is that I could see how sometimes I was holding too hard, or I was pushing too hard, or I was forcing things to be what I wanted it to be instead of being in the fluidity of life and allowing the life to do what it do. You know, there's something happens when you're fluid with it. It's like dancing in a movement, you know. You ever see two dancers dance together and you can see the fluidity of the movements and they just look good? Every time she move, yang, he, ying, and she, yang, he, yang, he, you know, it's just a movement. But then you can see two people dance together and it's like a forceful move and it's not fluid. And that's how we're supposed to be in life, fluid. And that's what I learned in pottery. You know, I was forcing it, trying to make it happen because I came from an idea that I was a hustler and I got to make it happen because I became the make it happen queen. I was like, oh, I don't want that title no more in life. I want to allow it to happen, queen, and be fluid with my life. And that's what happens when you get into your sweet spot. That's what Oprah meant when she said, I'm living the dream, family, not because I'm special, because I was obedient to the call. What she's saying, I was fluid with life, and I allowed my sweet spot to shine. I allowed my gift to do what it do, and I didn't force it, but I allowed it to do what it do. And so simply, when you find yourself in a forceful, make it happen, or wanting to control the situation, I want to invite you to simply breathe and move with the flow. That's what I did yesterday. Not expecting perfection. Not expecting anything but other than what was. The balloon lady didn't show up. This is the first time in 10 years that we didn't get to do the balloon release because she didn't show up. People were late because 9 years we were on 39th Street. And the sound people and the stage people all went to 39th Street. But I didn't, it was the fluid. And it's like, okay. And what I know now and know for sure is that it's about just allowing the beauty of what is to be. And I think I perfected that yesterday. One time, if it didn't, oh, and that was something else. I'm such a stickler for not wanting to be late to start things on late time. That at 6 o'clock, when things still wasn't pulled together, even though it wasn't chaotic, it was smooth, it was effortless, I just allowed it to be what it be. I just let it do what it do. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Performers were on 39th Street. And whoever wasn't there to perform, it was okay. It was beautiful. Because the performance, the beauty, the gift of the sunrise service was so beautiful. The actual invitation to be invited to heal deeper, to forgive deeper, to move into the forgiveness deeper. And more importantly, the intimacy of people that mean a lot to you. The faces that port you, even if they don't know they support, just that quiet, in that quietness and their distance, the support of them was beautiful. And so what I want to leave us with today is to invite you to allow the fluidity of life to do what it do. And when you find yourself wanting to manipulate, control, or change a situation, I invite you to breathe deeper. I invite you to breathe deeper. I invite you to just allow the presence of God to move through you and know that everything is in perfect divine order. Breathe deeper. That's my message for today. I want to thank everybody who sent their love, their prayers, those who showed up, those who were there, and those who couldn't make it. I want you to know you were missed and your energy was missed, but I know you were sending love. Thank you, family. Any comments, concerns, press 1 on Blog Talk, and on teleconference, star 6. All right, family. I'm so excited. You know I wanted to sing, right, y'all? Y'all know. Y'all know I want to say good morning, good morning.
Good morning, beautiful Janine and Ingram. You know, yesterday, first of all, I got up first thing in the morning and I said my prayers for the sunrise service, which I knew was just going to be phenomenal because it always is and God is in charge. And then I kind of spent the day very melancholy because I wanted to be there. So when you were sharing this morning about Ebony and her dance and that beautiful song, which I've never heard before. You know, it's like, it was just like I said, it's okay that you weren't there, but your spirit was there. And I could almost see, Ebony, when you were talking, I was closing my eyes and I remember how beautifully she glided across the stage the last couple sunrise services I had come to, and how by this time she has perfected that art even more. So I don't even know how that's possible, but I just felt so beautiful. So I just want to say thank you for sharing it, and sharing it in such a way that we could just get a vision if we were not there, that we could just vision and we could feel her gift and her share with her body. I love that she said, my body is my voice. So I just, you know, I just want you to know that I was there with you. I'm sad that I wasn't there in person. And it's all good. It's all good. I'm glad everything worked out beautifully. And that your little baby girl got her her love and support and her sharing her life with all of us as you did a service over her. So thank you so much, and you just continue on. You know, I know it's not easy, Janine, but you make it seem so effortless, all that you do. So hopefully you'll get a chance to relax and take care of yourself before you start preparing for the next day. Oh, and so, yeah, so that's that.
I'll be out there Wednesday.
I know. And we can't wait to see you, Steve. That's why. And that was like a consolation. I said, well, okay, you'll get to see Janine in just a few days. So that's definitely a consolation for that. I wanted to ask to speak to when you were talking about the pottery thing, and it reminded me of the movie Ghost when Demi Moore and oh, Lord, I can't think of his name now. But anyway, when in the movie Ghost, she was doing the pottery, and it kept falling, and she built it back up, and it kept falling. And I was like, oh, okay, that's what that was like. So I can understand your frustration, but you just persisted until you created something magnificent, which is what you always do. You always persist until you create that magnificent. So love you so much. Can't wait to see you get here. In the Baltimore, Maryland area, we're so excited to see your beautiful face. All right, I'm going to say have a beautiful day to you and to the rest of the family, Janine. One love.
One love. I just want to say absolutely it is like, you know, that scene in Ghost. But I think life is like that. I think when we let go, we hear the words let go and let God, but we really don't know what that means, you know. We put it and say, okay, God, and then when it's not done fast enough, we're still trying to figure out and do it, moving and hurrying and scurrying around. But what I really learned that life really is about letting go. It's about managing the vibration. You see, in that hurt, you know, now when I feel stuck or I feel my goal is to breathe and move back into a space. And even though we say we know it, or even though it may sound simple, sometimes we forget. We get caught in a moment of we need to hurry up. We need to make it happen because maybe the bill is due. But even in the fact that the bill is due, just the simple fact that maybe I don't have it on the first. And, yeah, maybe it might look like if I don't get it, I may be homeless. But what I've learned is if I just get still, if I just can breathe through it, I can hear. And sometimes I don't have to do nothing. Just breathe. and somebody might ring the doorbell, or a check might come in the mail, or, you know, but it's just simply learning how to manage that energy through the process is the goal. And so having that pottery class, I remember when I let go and just let the music move me and just held my hands, I created the prettiest pieces that I ever created. I was like, oh, my God, they're so pretty. I was in love with my babies. But it took I was in that classroom by myself from 10:30 in the morning to 9 at night, and it wasn't until about 8:30 that all that time I was messing up the clay, starting over. I had to make clay again. But what I learned, I was always in my way. I was in the way because I was trying to manipulate it and control it instead of letting go and allowing and breathing. Oof. Fluidity. All right. I'm going to let you go, family. I'm reminding you today that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. And I want to remind you, choose love. Love is a choice. And I want to also remind you this. Don't just dream, but live your God-sized dreams. And I'm just going to play this beautiful song one more time. And I promise I won't wear you out with it. This is the theme to me. Ebony opened this up with this piece. Beautiful. Minetti, girl, you outdid yourself when you sent this to me. I don't know if anybody else appreciated it. Thank you. And I just want to say, I don't know if you're on the line this morning or not, but girl, Lady Oshun look good on you. You look so beautiful. All right. This is beautiful. Imani Uzuru.
To bless you. touch you.